Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Atop the San Francisco skyline, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome back. It is fantastic to have you. We're moving into our final hour here. We're going to be taking it to the tweets a little bit later on this hour. At Damon Bruce on Twitter. Actually, you don't even need to do the at Damon Bruce. Just use the hashtag. Hashtag number two, the numeral two, the tweets. That's all we ask. Any question you might have, fair, foul, about sports, not about sports, chances are we'll get to it if it won't immediately get me fired.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Let's not do that. We don't want any of that.
We didn't win the Powerball, by the way. You knew this, right?
We did not win the Powerball.
We did not win the Powerball.
That's disappointing.
We're going to win Saturday.
So no one won the Powerball, though.
No one got the five numbers and the Powerball. One person, though, in Union City did win the five numbers, and I think they get like $1 million.
But you got to have that Powerball.
Well, yeah, they would have had like $500,000.
Half a billion, you mean?
I mean, half a billion. Yeah, done.
Right. Yeah. Fine. So we were playing for $400 million. Now we're playing for what? $700 million?
Can you imagine? $700 million.
Let me tell you, the minute Gianna, Bouton, Vixen, Danny, and me—the minute we're splitting $700 million. When I say you can ask any question you want, I freaking mean it. I mean, the minute I can sit back and peel off my FCC violations, like just right in my pocket, like what's that going to cost the station today? $100,000, Don? All right, here you go. It's paying pennies. Let's just screw with them.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, God.
Can you imagine?
You like the show now. Wait until your meeting. Wait until the show is hosted by independently wealthy Damon.
We're going to actually invent
beer cheese
when we are millionaires.
Oh, look. We could bathe in it if we want to.
Yeah.
Beer cheese.
Well, first of all, it's already been invented, Dan. I mean, it's just how much
Pub
do
cheese.
You want? How much cheese do you want? The answer is infinity cheese when we have $700 million.
So even if you take the payout, we're probably still looking at like $300 to $400 million anyway. So if you just take the money up front.
I'll tell you what, that's the kind of difference where now we should maybe talk about the payment plan.
Seriously?
We're going to give away $400 million for $300 million? You're crazy.
But, I mean, you could be gone tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know how long that money or you're going to be here. So wouldn't you want to just kind of have it in your possession and live it up and maybe grow it into $700 million at some point? Because the interest alone would have that potential.
Yeah, but look, the chances of me dying of some kind of an overdose of either... I'm going to overdose...
On billions
something,
of dollars.
I'm going to overdose. I'm going to, like, a man was killed motorboating. By the way, this is not a boating accident.
No.
This is not a seagoing, seafaring accident. One man was killed. Two members of the Damon Bruce Show. Damon Bruce and Danny Fries. Maybe even Button Vixen. She parties. Three members of the Damon Bruce Show. Damon Bruce, Danny Friesinger, and Bouton Vixen. We're all killed motorboating.
Then I'd have it all to myself.
That's right, yeah. And you're the one who all of a sudden showed up with Kate Upton. How about that?
How about that?
Look, did you see there was a local news thing.
I did. You did show me that.
The local news thing was amazing. There was this cute little reporter out asking, do you know the odds of winning the lottery? And this one guy's like, yeah, slim to none. She's like, well, actually, it's like 1 in 920 million or whatever it is and that sort of thing. He's like, yeah, she's like, what kind of numbers do you use? And he's like, yeah, I got some secret numbers here. What are you going to do if you win? He's like, oh, cocaine and hookers.
on live news.
Cocaine and hookers. Funny. Actually, no, I got that wrong. It was hookers and cocaine is what he was excited
Priorities.
About. We've got Susan Slusser, the Sluss, coming up. And we haven't talked to her since really the end of baseball season. You know, we were talking an awful lot about the BBWA. She used to be the head of it. So we'll talk to her about the vote and what she liked, what she doesn't like. Talk to her a little bit about how the Giants are actually putting together an offseason and the A's are not. So we'll have all of that coming up with Susan in just a minute or two here. I got Stephen Hayward, who's been waiting patiently. What's going on? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, I got a question for you. I got two, primarily. Is with Bulky and the owner of the 49ers being such boobs, do you realistically think that they can get a coach that will want to come to the 49ers and coach them? And then the other is there any possibility that the Raiders could come over and play in, say, the stadium in San Francisco if he would build one for them?
Yeah, well, no. First of all, if the Raiders stay in Oakland, the whole point is they're still in Oakland, and I don't know exactly how the territorial – I'm pretty sure that no team can actually occupy the city that another team is pretending it's still occupying. That seems like it would – wouldn't it be cool, though? First of all, this would be such a – just, again, spitting on Oakland, and I don't want to spit on Oakland, but if Oakland can't get its act together with a new stadium, wouldn't it be cool if the Raiders did move, like, somewhere, like they built a cool stadium on Hunters Point, Candlestick, whatever?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool and they called themselves the Golden State Raiders? I don't know.
That'd be cool.
It would be cool. Except, of course, if you're in Oakland, in which case you get screwed again. There's very few scenarios in which, at the end of the day, you're not screwed in Oakland.
Could we afford the Raiders with our Powerball winnings? If we took the 700, I mean.
If we, the Raiders got to be worth, the Raiders are probably worth $1 billion.
At least.
Right now. Even as dysfunctional and screwed up as they are. Maybe we could buy in, though.
Right.
Maybe come in as a majority. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if, like, the day after we win the Powerball, you and I show up at Mark Davis's P.F. Chang's and we just put the winning lottery ticket in front of him and we're like, let's talk, Mark.
Yeah, how cool would that be?
Let's talk. The whole, like, are you worried that Jed and Balky will be a hindrance to finding a new coach? Yeah, I am a little bit. But the truth is, someone's going to want this job. It is an NFL head coaching job. It might not be the person with the most amount of options, but somebody out there is going to want this job, I can promise you. Can I share with you a real, like, quick story that doesn't have anything to do with anything that we've been talking about all day today, but I want to share this with you because this, to me, is the difference between priorities, not real priorities, what real men, what real grown-ups need to go and do. Brad Stevens, as many of you know, used to be the head coach of Butler. He went to back-to-back national championship games, lost them both, ended up becoming the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Everybody in Indiana who cares about the Hoosiers was hoping that he would be the guy who would taste the NBA for a little while, say, nope, go back to college, and he would eventually come to Bloomington and rescue the Hoosiers. It's not going to happen. He's staying in the NBA for the foreseeable future. He's getting paid very well, and his team is starting to find success. And, oh, by the way, he's not coaching the Charlotte Hornets. It's the Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics are in Chicago to play the Bulls tonight. Brad Stevens will not be with him. One of the kids who was on Brad Stevens' Butler's teams, named Andrew Smith, not long after he graduated from college, was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer. And he battled it, beat it back, and now it has returned. To the point where he is in the hospital right now, and you know, the family is officially putting Facebook posts up like, all we need at this time are your prayers. It looks like the bright light of Andrew Smith's life is about to fade out.
It's very sad.
Brad Stevens instead of coaching the Celtics in a game against the Bulls, which in some worlds and some universes means something, is leaving the game. He will not be with the team tonight. He has flown or driven to Indianapolis to be at his player's bedside tonight.
That says a lot about him.
It says a lot about him, and it says a lot about you, how you would react to that as a fan. And to me, that is noble. That is what true leaders do. So I just, this is a story that is kind of all over Twitter right now. And it's just, it's one of those, like, gets you right in the feels. It really does. So, man, oh, man. What a sad story. But looks like Brad Stevens is just as good as advertised.
Yeah.
E-Man calling from Redwood City. What's going on? How are you, E?
How's it going, Damon?
Things are good.
Hey, real quick, I want to see, do you think Lovie Smith will exercise the vacancy in Santa Clara for the Niners?
Given
the fact that he just got fired today.
Yeah, if I'm the 49ers, I'm looking for an offensive coach. That is not Lovie Smith. I mean, if they talk to him, it'll probably be maybe to qualify for a Rooney Rule. But I really don't think that Lovie Smith is the right guy to be the next head coach. And by the way, has anyone noticed Jim Tom Sula's name is not being attached to any of these job openings? Anyone else notice that? Even though he had a great shave. Have you seen him shave? Have you seen a shaved Tom Sula, E-Man?
You know what's funny, Damon? I coached Pop Warner for Redwood City 49ers.
That's awesome.
For the young kids.
I love Pop Warner coaches. That's fantastic of you.
Yeah, so about halfway through the season, we play Tom Sula's son. His son plays for Albany, some team up in the hills, up by Los Altos, whatever the case may be. And he was actually at our game, on the field with us. And, like, I'm going to be honest with you, Damon, he's a professional coach. I'm a Pop Warner coach. I felt more enthusiastic about the game, being that they're my kids. And I understand his son's on the other team, but he was in the bleachers. He looked miserable.
He was miserable?
It looked like he was miserable. He was like no celebration because, I mean, his kid was, running the ball left and right. You know, his kid's, not too bad of a football player. And I looked up in the stands and he's not cheering and it's like, come on. In my head, I'm like, really? It's Pop Warner and you're a professional coach.
Here's the deal. I mean, maybe you just, if you stare at football too long, no matter what you do, it looks like work. If your job is football, I can't explain to you. I've heard that, spend 5 minutes with Jim Tom Sula, you walk away feeling like you met a new friend. 30 seconds into his press conference, though, you'll think something terrible happened. But, like, good guy. So I don't know. I thank you for your call.
Maybe he's having a bad day.
Maybe he was having a bad day. Exactly.
Looks completely different without a mustache. A total different person.
He looks like he could run a company. He looks like
10 years younger.
I mean, he doesn't look like your high school janitor anymore.
He should have done this a long time ago.
He should have shaved the mustache a long time ago. I got a guy named Miggy on the text line saying, what is the Rooney Rule? Okay, it's fair enough. Not everyone understands everything out there, and so I'll explain it to you. So the Rooney Rule is basically every single NFL job opening, every head coach opening, you must interview a minority candidate before you fill the position. The cynic can say that this is nothing more than a token waste of a candidate's time. But there's also those who will tell you that minority coaches so rarely get the chance to interview for a head coaching opportunity that just the rep of doing it, the experience of doing it, makes you better at it and makes you a more viable candidate down the road.
Okay.
So the Rooney Rule, which is created by the Rooney family, it's almost like affirmative action for an interviewing process, and it's to really undo the systematic racism that was ingrained into coaching hierarchy years ago, and now that they're trying to undo it. I've seen people write terrible articles about it. I've seen people say it's been incredibly important. I really don't even know how to feel about it, but I just know that it is a rule that is required, that even though it's required, is often ignored when the clear candidate is identified. So, anyways, we need to officially get to Susan, who's been waiting. I'm sorry, I didn't know she was there. I'm going on about the Rooney rule here, and we have Susan Slusser joining us. It's good to talk to you, Susan. It's been a while. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It's very nice to talk to you, too.
Yeah, let's hop right into this Hall of Fame vote. Was there anyone who you thought was best suited to join Junior Griffey and Piazza and didn't get in this time around? Was there a surprise for you?
Oh, well, I voted seven places. We've talked about this before, Damon. I don't vote Bonds and Clemens because of the steroid connections that are pretty clear. There are seven guys I feel should be in the Hall, and certainly a couple of them are getting close. I really want to see Tim Raines get in next year. It's his last year of eligibility. I certainly thought Bagwell was getting pretty close. It's interesting. My good friend Ryan Thibodeau keeps track with the Hall of Fame tracker, and the public ballots that were available before the vote was announced, both Bagwell and I think maybe Trevor Hoffman and Raines were in. Certainly Raines and Bagwell were in on those. It's the ones where the people aren't publicly announcing. They seem like they were not voting for some of those guys. But it's great to see Piazza finally make it. I hope that starts to trend with some of these other guys that are backlogged getting in the next year or two.
If you had to get on a stump and lobby for Rock Raines, what would your "he needs to be in" speech sound like?
Well, you know, some people go a little too far and say, you know, he was Ricky. He wasn't quite Ricky, but there's only one Ricky. I mean, Ricky's, you know, one of the handful of greatest players
right.
ever. But after Ricky, if you're looking for a leadoff guy, this guy was, first of all, he was a terrific outfielder. I mean, just an all-around great player. And his numbers stack up. And a little bit of an A's connection, you know, and he played for the A's at the very tail end of his career, and a gentleman and a wonderful guy, a great ambassador for the game, and really one of the few sort of remnants of those great Expos teams that got so messed up by the lockout and all of that. It would be nice for something good to finally come out of all of that and have Tim Raines make it in the Hall of Fame in his final year of eligibility next year.
On the BBWA former presidency that you used to have, are you going to beat the bushes to find the three turkeys that thought preventing Ken Griffey Jr. from being the first unanimous Hall of Famer was a more helpful moment for baseball history than casting a vote they know should have been in? Like, the only reason why you don't vote for Griffey is because somebody screwed up their Bonds vote, or not their Bonds vote, but their Babe Ruth vote, you know, 100 years ago. I mean, it's ridiculous to not vote for Griffey.
I mean, actually, no, there's another reason. I mean,
10 vote made. Yes.
Yeah, people could have been doing it for strategic reasons, knowing Griffey was a lock, you know, with the way polling was going before people even finished voting. Some people might have thought he's a lock. I'm going to give that vote because so many people feel there are more than 10 who on the ballot who are worthy. It's very possible that at least one or two of those. And then, you know, this is another topic we seem to once a year discuss, Damon. You got a group of 450, 500 people. There's going to be a few oddballs and weirdos. That, I mean, if everybody was supposed to vote the same way, we would be a fascist country and the votes would all be 100%. We're not like that. That's not, people can vote the way they want. That's what happens with a large electorate.
I think
maybe somebody just met screwed up. Sometimes that happens. There's always a error of, of 2% in various different things. That's because people, like, mean to check one thing and accidentally check another thing. So it could be that. It could be stupidity. It could be weirdo. It could be strategic.
Is this the dangling Chad defense? Is that what this is?
Well, it is a weird, you know, there are strange things that happen.
Sure.
You get a lot of things in the mail and a lot of different people. And there's, you know, elections are elections. I had to laugh when I saw my colleague Henry Schulman tweet something about Bob Costas and said, those three need to have their votes stripped. No, it's an election. It's just like our general democracy. An election, you don't get your vote taken away because you vote the way somebody else thinks you shouldn't. Or you're entitled to vote whatever crazy thing you want to vote.
Right. But we don't let criminals vote either, and I just think it's criminal to not let Ken Griffey Jr. in unanimously. I mean, seriously.
No, that's not too strong, Damon. That's very fair.
Susan, we've been talking quite a bit about the moves the San Francisco Giants are making. We haven't talked at all about the moves the A's are making. Is there anything that happened under the radar or even on the radar because it's not a marquee player that you think changes the arc of the season we're about to see? Doesn't feel like they've made any real, you know, I'm not going to get excited about a guy in the bullpen, it being your major offseason acquisition.
Well, the bullpen was their big Achilles heel. I mean, the bullpen, everybody points to Donaldson trade. What killed their season last year really was a terrible, terrible bullpen, starting with Sean Doolittle's injury. I mean, it's not Sean Doolittle's fault. I mean, guys get hurt, but you know the whole story. From there on, it was awful. But I don't think right now this necessarily lines up as the best team in the division. You know, there are better teams right now in the AL West. But there is one interesting under-the-radar move that we haven't discussed. I haven't been on with you since it happened, I don't think. The Henderson Alvarez signing is very interesting. Costs them very little. He won't be ready until May sometime. But you're talking about getting an all-star for 2 years for virtually nothing, who could come back and be a pretty important piece. And we know that the A's live and die with their pitching. Their rotation, if health is okay, could be okay. And their bullpen is certainly a lot better. So, and this offseason has been more about, I think, addition by subtraction than anything else. We knew there were problems in the clubhouse. We knew the chemistry was bad. They've addressed some, if not all, of that, I think.
With Billy moving up the corporate ladder and David Force now being the guy, is it going to be business as usual, standard operating procedure? Or might a new GM change business as usual with the A's?
No, nothing changes. They were pretty clear with that. You know, David Force, this was a very deserved promotion. It's really just in title only. But he's been doing sort of the daily grunt work, you know, the real sort of what you think of now as a GM. You know, the kind of groundwork and the calls and the all the research. He's the one that's really been in charge of that. And Billy does a lot of sort of the deep thinking and certainly, you know, any final decisions. He's weighing in on, no doubt, and is educated on it, but he doesn't need to know, you know, the 40-man roster of every big league team the way David Force does. So nothing really changes in the way they do things, but I think a very nice and very well-deserved move for David Force. He's been doing kind of that daily GM stuff for quite a while.
If you had to lean one way or the other, do you think Billy still does his weekly interview with us or halfway took the promotion to make David do it?
Oh, that's a great question. I tell you, David's been doing way more of the print media duties since the changeover. So, yeah, you might get a little bit of a difference. David's a good talker. So, you know, I don't think you can lose there. All I'll say. Either way, you'll be just fine.
How are the holidays?
Very just calm and uneventful, the way you like them. Nice and nothing crazy.
Very, very nice. Well, nice to catch up with you for the first time. And before you know it, we'll be talking to you from Arizona. It'll be here before anyone expects. That's how fast time marches on. Susan, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
Susan Slusser joining us here from the San Francisco Chronicle. She is our A's insider. Wanted to talk to her about her Hall of Fame vote in the A's and David Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, even if we do a weekly with David, I'm still going to demand a monthly from Billy.
We're less than 6 weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting.
That's crazy.
I know. It's like just around the corner.
That is crazy. By the way, if we hit the Powerball, oh, we are going to Scottsdale.
How fun would that be?
Oh, my Lord.
We should go anyway.
Nah, let's see if the Canadian will pick it up. Here's the thing. I love spring training once every 3-4 years.
Yeah, I'm
I don't need to go every year. I would not want to go to spring training every year. Spring training every 3-4 years, which I guess
we're due.
I'm due.
Yeah.
I'm due. Hold on.
Baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby. I got the feeling, baby.
All right. Here's the deal. We're going to take it to the tweets, and we're going to do it next. We need you to hit the Twitter machine, at Damon Bruce, using the hashtag number to the tweets. Any question you got on your mind, from any avenue of thought, and we'll try to get to it. Don't be the person who waits too long, sends it too late, and we don't get to it, send it now. We're going to come back and take it to the tweets here on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, I love to take it to the tweets. There's always some interesting stuff waiting for me, and I haven't even opened it yet. Can't wait to take a look at all this. But first, Gianna.
Damon.
As we let everybody.
Yes.
Use the hashtag to the tweets. To
number two.
Make it happen. We got this from ESPN's Media Zone, the new 30 for 30 series that are coming out. I told you I was excited. They're doing an 85 Bears 30 for 30. Vince Vaughn and Peter Billingsley are the people who are actually producing it. And the guy who did the Fab 5 30 for 30 is the one who's directing it.
Nice.
They're going to do everything from the 46 defense to the Super Bowl shuffle to the loss on Monday Night Football to the Dolphins that cost them the perfect season to the steamrolling of the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And then I hope it really ends with Mike Ditka being furious that Buddy Ryan got carried off the field, too. That pissed off Ditka so much. Buddy Ryan got carried off the field. And only Ditka wanted to be carried off the field. I mean, like, it was just ridiculous. So that is coming out. That is going to be the next one, a 30 for 30 on the 85 Bears. There's going to be another coming in March. Or no, excuse me. It's not coming in March. I don't know when it's coming. But the other one that ESPN's working on right now is called Fantastic Lies. And it's going to be about the Duke University lacrosse rape case.
Oh, that's interesting.
That will be really interesting.
Yeah.
So I know a guy who was there on the team when that happened.
Have you talked to him about this?
Yes.
Wow.
And he'll tell you right now that that was the most overblown race-baiting thing of all time. Like, they did nothing but hire a stripper who then used that opportunity to turn around. It was so easy to fan the flames, and she did. And he's like, this cost good people their jobs, their careers, their everything. And so I had a buddy of mine who was on that Duke team.
Wow. That's...
Tell me the story about all this. And it's really fascinating. We'll see how much his story lines up with the documentary that they're working on. And then they're doing another 30 for 30 on the Orlando Magic, like the mid-90s Orlando Magic, which were a monster powerhouse of a team with Anthony Hardaway and Shaq and really good team. So they're doing that. And then they're going to do OJ Made in America. It's not exactly a 30 for 30. It's a new chapter for the 30 for 30 brand, a 5-part documentary miniseries about the first episodic documentary from ESPN Films. And I guess it's going to be all about OJ and how race played a huge part in whether or not you thought he did or didn't do it.
I mean, the 30 for 30 about the day the Bronco chase happened was really good.
Phenomenal.
So I wonder if they're going to kind of build off of that.
Well, I mean,
into
you
this
could,
new series, because it's a great...
Look, you could dedicate a network to the OJ trial,
yeah.
And I would tune in to see what you were doing almost every night. That's how crazy that thing was.
Yeah.
So OJ Made in America is going to be one of the next 30 for 30s coming out, but that's going to actually be a 5-part miniseries, and it sounds like they're really taking advantage of... What's the show that everybody's talking about right now on Netflix?
Oh, that Murder.
Making a Murder?
Making a Murder, something like that.
I still haven't started it. I got to start it.
I just started a piece of it, but I... have to wake up early, so I went to bed. But Danny sold me on it for sure.
I've got to see it. I'm going to see it. Right now, though, we are not going to we're not going to make a murder. We're not going to make a documentary. But we will take it to the tweets.
Not everyone has time to make a phone call, but everyone has time to tweet. Tweet at Damon Bruce right now. It's taking it to the tweets. Tweets. Now, here's Damon.
The first one comes from Shimbo at Never Daunted. When Tom Sula shaved off his mustachio, did he regain some of his dignity? Yes. Yes, he did. Jim Tom Sula needed to change something up. He's now got a $14 million bank account. Get rid of your dime store mustache. He looks better.
Oh, he's 47 years old, and now he actually looks close to his age. He looked like he was 65.
He did a little bit.
He did. He looked older.
And it wasn't a great... Here's the thing. Some guys and facial hair really go together well. Some guys in facial hair you think go together well until you see them without it.
Right.
Or some guys you think without it don't need it, and then they get it, and you're like, damn, that beard looks good on you. I was one of those guys.
With the beard looks good on you?
I just had a goatee for a really long time, and then I like let the beard go. And then like all these, like here's the thing. I don't care what my friends say. Screw all of them to infinity and beyond. Women were like, that beard looks good on you.
Okay. Well, that's what matters.
That's it. That's all. I told my girlfriend, I'm like, I'm going to shave this thing in a little bit. I'm tired of the Seth Rogen nonsense. And she's like, don't. I like it.
Okay. Like, she's never seen you without the beard.
Right.
I know how that feels. I mean, not seeing you without my husband, but.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if you came in. I don't know. I'm kind
of. They say that, and then all of a sudden they want you to shave the beard. And you're like, no, I like the beard now. I don't want to shave every day. Once you have a beard, you can't go back.
Well, once you have a beard, it is so much easier to shave. Because you just do the top parts of your cheeks and your neck. And it's like, half of what you would shave, you're not even shaving anymore.
I don't know what you would look like without a beard.
Damn good.
Okay.
But not as distinguished, maybe.
Okay.
I look a lot younger. A lot younger.
Well, I mean, that probably, yeah. Just because.
Anyway, so Jim Tomsula 100% looks great without a mustache. Like, Tom Selleck should never shave his mustache.
No.
Jim Tomsula should never grow another one.
No, he looks much better without it. He looks nice.
And Brian Urlacher should shave that Dr. Rosanelli treatment that he got on his hair there. What? I don't know what that was.
What is that?
And I'm not even kidding. I think Jed York is using like the spray can hair.
You think?
I think so. Jed's thinned so much. And then there's this weird, for a guy who's thinning that much, something's going on in the front.
No.
He's taking a page out of Urlacher's book.
It's like spray on Ron Popeil hair.
That's just weird.
This is from Paulie G. He says, Damon, should the Niners take a quarterback with their first pick in the draft? Well, it depends on whether or not Goff is still there at 7, right? And I don't even know if Goff is like, he's the one. I don't know that. But no. I mean, it depends on who their coach is. Are they retaining Kaepernick? Are they bringing back Gabbert? Do you need a quarterback even if you have both of those? Yeah, maybe. But if you're bringing both those guys back, you figure one of those two guys is your quarterback. Therefore, why not get your quarterback like a weapon to actually throw the ball to? They got to replace Anquan Boldin. If Anquan Boldin's on this team, he can't be a wideout. He's got to be a slot guy from now on. He just can't run anymore. We go to the Chengo Kid. This is Dame. Where do you see the Giants ending up this year with their big offseason? Giants against the Cubs in the NLCS? Well, that's not my opinion. That's what Vegas says is going to happen. Vegas has got the Giants and the Cubs as your National League leaders in the clubhouse right now to win the World Series next year, which means them meeting in the NLCS is not far away from a realm of possibility. Yeah, I could see that happening, in which case, Daddy's going to need a vacation. Oh, boy.
It is an even year.
Oh, but it's also a baseball season, so that means, of course, the Cubs aren't in the World Series. So, this is from Anthony. He says, D. Bruce, Bonds and Rose go to the Hall at the same time, or neither ever get to go? It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, we're still going to do it my way. They're both in. And they both go in the year Pete Rose dies. Pete Rose doesn't get the bow. That's what I'm – put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Don't invite him to the damn thing. Pete Rose shouldn't be able to make a nickel off the Hall of Fame because he made so many nickels off I Haven't Been Lying. No. Pete Rose, the player, belongs in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose, the gambling manager, deserves to serve every single millisecond of his lifetime ban. And if you're saying that Bonds goes in, if Rose gets in, then – we're still leaving that. It is more important for Barry Bonds. It's more important for Rose to never be in than it is for Bonds to be in.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned. Because, like, you know, there's this whole, like, well, what about steroids? Well, what about it? Well, there's a lot to talk about there. It's not an open and shut case. It's not a clear, like, steroids is not a black or white issue. And if you think it is, you're naive. This is a gray territory.
and we, you know, talking with Tom Verducci, who does think it's black and white. I respect his opinions. I respect Susan's opinion. I think they're both wrong. I think they're incorrectly framing what we saw. Means you're not doing your job as a historian correctly. But it is more important. Like, the gambler, that's it. These other guys tinkered with their stats, toyed with the record books. This guy raped the integrity of the game you were watching, and therefore is the single biggest villain in the history of baseball, as far as I'm concerned. That's it. No Pete Rose until he's dead. Then him and Bonds can both go in. We will try to plow through a whole bunch more of these real quick. Damon, any dark horse candidates for the 49er head coaching job that nobody's talking about? That's from Robert. Not right now. And they don't need dark horse. They need well-lit unicorn. They need well-lit donkey. They need a... Dark horse does not get it done for the 49ers. They need a name. They need a guy you've heard of. Damon, I love the show, writes Eddie. Will the NFL owners regret not letting the Raiders go to L.A. when they make the playoffs in the next few years? Hashtag Go Falcon. How about that? He gave you a little Go Falcon in
there.
No. No. The NFL won't really care about that. Here's what the NFL doesn't want two teams, I think, in Los Angeles as much as it wants the best television studio money can buy in the brand new stadium that Stan Kroenke says he's going to build.
Right.
I think that's what's going on here. But no, I don't think there's going to be any buyer's remorse or no buyer's remorse on the Raiders. When we come on back, we will wrap this bad boy up with more To The Tweets.
The Damon Bruce Show. On 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's just, you know, again, you can have your own opinion, you can't have your own facts. Damon, a beard equals a mullet, an ugly fad that'll be gone by 2020. No. A fad is like when...
Beards have been around since forever.
There is a Viking who thinks you're wrong about this.
The people that took over America and started it had beards.
Jesus thinks you're wrong,
facts,
by the way.
Facts! Isn't that the guy that created all of mankind?
Abraham Lincoln is like, no.
A fad is short-lived.
Right.
It's brief. It's something we all jump on and
beards
then we jump
off.
Beards
aren't going anywhere.
Right.
Your
husband has like one of the most unique beards in the world, right?
He's got an I'm in a band beard.
Yes, he does.
He's got an I'm in a band beard.
No, it's there. By the way, he's playing Saturday night at Slim's. Anyone want to come?
Oh, really?
Shout out?
Yeah.
This Saturday night?
Yep. Stateline Empire, Saturday night, Slim's.
Huh. In San Francisco?
Yeah. You coming?
Okay. Yeah.
Sweet.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Ooh.
We'll figure it out.
It's a little tough.
On air now. He's buying. Yeah.
No, I want to see. I really wanted to go to the show at the Great American Music Hall, but I couldn't because I was sick.
Yeah.
Now you're gonna see the rock show.
There you go. The whole thing with
What's
beards being with whole Bass. Beards being trendy.
I'd be a drummer.
It's only
not trendy.
No, here it is.
Mustaches are trendy.
What did
beards
get,
are forever.
What made it trendy,
right?
Is all these like if you're wearing pants so tight you have trouble breathing, like all these like skateboarder
skinny jeans.
Oh. Guys,
thank
your
God,
hipster
I that
look.
Era.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Your hipster look guy.
Yeah.
Like, that guy's rocking a mustache because it's cool. Or rocking a beard because it's cool in the moment. I'm doing this for old man reasons.
Yeah. Okay, you're not
like
old.
You.
Yeah.
You're a forefather.
I feel like
forefathers
it.
Had beards. I mean, beards cannot be trendy. The country was built on beards.
Look at it this
I've
way.
Got a beard now, even.
You do.
Only because it's the winter, but whatever.
My dad had a beard. We buried him in a beard.
Love it.
The man... participated in zero trends in his life.
There was no trend going on with his beard. No.
If you ask my dad what was trending,
you should block that
he'd
texter.
Fart and roll over. He wouldn't
done.
Even know what
He's
it was.
He's done saying
mullet was a fad.
Mullet
was a bad fad.
Yeah, the mullet's a fad. Like Anyway, what do you got going on?
Townie and I, 7 to 11, but I have now two bones to pick with you. I had one originally. Now I have two. Number one, I'm blamed for losing the lotto because of my $4 entry fee.
Absolutely. You can't come in at the end. Our ticket was sold. You tried to glom on for a percentage you had no right to. Get some lottery Powerball etiquette, you barbarian.
Please don't hold it against the ladies.
Yeah, I'm the ladies in this instance. And no. I feel like it's being held against me.
Now you know.
I need some Steve Harvey in here.
The tickets have been sold.
So you guys would have won if it wasn't for... No, Shane, don't ring the bell. Cut it off before the bell.
Give him the bell.
Okay, you know what?
A Powerball Barbie.
I don't even remember what the second thing was. I really
it doesn't
don't.
Even matter.
I don't. It doesn't.
Look at it this way.
I got blamed for all of us quitting our jobs and being rich.
Next time
around. That's a good way to go into my four-hour show.
Here's the deal. No one's quitting.
No, that wasn't going to happen.
We broadcast with impunity when we're all wealthy.
Oh, just like naked? Just look, whatever goes?
Look at it this way.
Just drinking tequila, just butt naked, just doing the show. Who cares what happens?
I'm going to give Don a blank check. And I said, send one of these to the FCC and let them know, bah, right here.
Yeah, I'll pay for the fine. No big deal. Done. That I said whatever I said. I really don't forget what the second part was. I had a whole beef with you. And now, I remember it now. You're not going to the Super Bowl and you could have? Do you know what I did to Don to try to get a Super Bowl ticket? I was like, hey, Don, I don't know if there's a possibility that I can get in, but I have a San Francisco Niners credential, so if there's possibility that I can get in. And you're on here just promoting that you said no to it.
I said no to it.
Can I get yours?
It's going to John Dickinson.
I'm all no.
The boy watch.
Yeah. John the boy Dickinson. Can't watch. No. And stop with your drops.
It belongs rhyme, to John. It belongs to John because John's going to go there and work.
Yeah.
Are you saying
sense.
I wouldn't
gonna
work?
He's going to go
get
the sound.
I would work.
No, you wouldn't.
I would work.
No, you wouldn't.
No.
How would the
we can't trust
the,
you.
Not the Raiderettes, but what's the...
You would be at the Gold Rush.
Gold
you
Rush,
would
ladies.
Be at the Guy Fieri $700 for nachos tailgate.
Yeah, except I wouldn't pay for it. I'd try to use my media credential with your name on it. Like, I'm Damon Bruce.
That's how much I dislike Levi's Anyways, Stadium. Yeah. I don't even want to go down
I
there
I can't
for
believe
a
that
Super
I didn't
Bowl.
Get it. I'm offended. That's why I was, and I'm to blame for us not being rich.
Here's a segment for your show tonight.
What's
How
that?
Many station employees would have to die before you got the Super Bowl credential?
Ouch!
I'm gonna say it's
Ouch.
No. How
that
many
bodies?
How many
in the
bodies?
Ranchos, whatever the hell they call them.
Huevos?
Yes, whatever it is.
Huevos. All right, good All right. to see you, man. Thank
that
you very
many
much.
People would need to die? Is well, it only like seven? The morning show's 3, middle show's 2, that's 5, Pop and Lun, that's 7, you is 8, Townie's 9, I'm 10.
Uh-uh.
So 9.
I'm
oh,
10,
you would go?
You'd be 11.
Are we including Anna too? Oh, You're damn, I'm 12. Low on the totem pole. All right, bye.
We might give it to Troy.
He doesn't work here anymore.
Troy Clarity have it. All right, should we get back to the tweet? We're almost out. We're almost out here.
Troy, the nicest guy, though. I'm exhausted.
That was good, right? Damon, this is from Michelle Haberman. Not to be confused with Michelle Haberkoff. Why are BART commuters such self-centered jerks? I think it's a fight for your territorial. You're looking for all the space and elbow room that you can get. And you're battling for the seats. You know, if it's a really crowded car, butts to nuts, no one likes that.
Oh my God, I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah. No one likes that. let's see. Damon, Clemson 2015 against Texas 2005. Who you got on Monday? Well, look, I mean, let Clemson join Texas as actual national champion. But yeah, Clemson's more than got a shot in this game. And tomorrow, before we get to our Star Wars hour at 6 o'clock, we're doing it tomorrow night. Star Wars hour, 6 p.m. I don't care who doesn't like it.
We're
doing it.
Done.
Clemson's got to win before we can even compare them to the Texas Longhorns of 2005. Just got a text from Michael Urban. He's like, I think I might get it before Zach. You're right, Mike.
Yes.
So Zach is now 14th in line.
At least.
Ike's is going to bring his sandwiches. I'm going to put him in 15. Actually, I could probably have his own suite.
Yeah, he can make that happen.
Quackers? First of all, Quackers has got his Santa Rosa Press credential.
That's right.
Like,
he's good.
Yeah, Lowell's not going this year. They're sending Quackers to cover this,
Absolutely.
I'm sure. Let's see, Damon, what will you be doing April 24th for the Game of Thrones premiere? Oh, crying, getting ready.
Yeah, I'd
bracing
say
myself for winter
or throw a party, but I do not like to be disturbed when I watch Game of Thrones. Like nobody talk,
I don't
leave the room.
Right, I don't believe in the viewing party. I don't believe in the view. No, it's the shut up party.
Yeah,
Maybe we should get together and watch Game of Thrones. Maybe I'll come down to your place. Oh, look at this. Somebody sent me a picture of a shaved James Harden.
Look at that.
That guy needs a beard.
He needs it.
It's his signature. It's his signature. Thank you very much, Pablo, for the shaved James Harden beard.
He would not be Mr. Kardashian without the beard. He's not as good looking.
That is really something else. Damon, do you think that Luke Walton will be head coach of the Lakers next season? That's from Kyle. Maybe. It's kind of a weak answer. Maybe. Because I think he's going to have such a profile that he might get options. And I don't know if Lakers will be the best option for him. And the Lakers are a lot away from mattering again. They really are. So, I don't know. I mean, if I'm Luke Walton, I might want to stick around here and kind of keep. Who's going to want to walk away from the Warriors?
Right.
I'd rather be a Warrior assistant coach than a head coach of the Phoenix Suns any day of the week. And by the way, I got a Rod Sarver Phoenix Suns story that I'm going to have to wait till tomorrow to get to. Because we're all out of time.
Also, the StubHub ticket later.
Oh, my gosh. We'll have to get to that tomorrow, too. And the Star Wars Hour. Damon, your thoughts on Making a Murderer? Haven't seen it yet, but everyone keeps on telling me. I got to go see it.
Clearly, we know what's happening over the weekend.
We know what's happening over the weekend. Thank you very much to Dan Ruzanowski, to Tom Verducci, Harrison Barnes, and the Susan Slusser for joining us. Thank you very much to Stephen. What's your name again? Bates. Thank you very much.
Does he run like a Welshman?
Look at him. He runs like a Welshman.
Yes,
doesn't he?
Does.
Doesn't he run like a Welshman?
Thank you, Welshman. Thank you, Bouton Vixen, Danny, Gianna. Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow right at 3 o'clock. In the meantime, appreciate you listening, and please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it.
Es la 95.7. Damos and Bruce Show. Escúchalos. Son los número uno.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.